in Mississippi yesterday, and the lady asked me, said, "How are you doing?" Well, I said, "If it wasn't for the rain and the cold," and she said, "Well, it's not raining where I'm at, and it's not cold where I'm at." And I said, "Well, it's raining where I'm at, and it's cold where I'm at." And, of course, she was in Mississippi. Now, I love Missouri. I do. I joke with y'all a lot, but I like Missouri. I really do. I enjoy being here. I do. But let me tell y'all about what happened just a little bit about Boudreaux. Boudreaux's got a good friend. You know, everybody needs a good friend, you know. And Boudreaux's got a real good friend. His name is Thibodeau. I was up there in that Ohio, and this lady never could get it right. She said, "It's Tippy-toe, isn't it? Tippy-toe." I said, "No, lady, it ain't Tippy-toe. It's Thibodeau. I had a botany teacher, biology teacher named Mr. Terry Thibodeau. And so Thibodeau's a good friend of Boudreaux there. And Boudreaux went to his good friend Thibodeau. He said, "Thibodeau, you know what's done happened to me?" He said, "Man, I don't know. I ain't seen you in a while, but what's done happened to you?" He said, "I done broke my leg in three places. What you think about that?" Thibodeau said, "Man, don't go to them three places. That's what I..." "You better stay away from there, man. You broke your place here and here and there. Don't go to them three places." Oh, that's terrible, is it not? Oh, Boudreaux and Thibodeau, they stay in trouble all the time. Boudreaux in particular, that's for sure. Take your Bibles and turn with us to the book of James chapter 4. And beginning at verse number 1, and this morning, the subject is, the fight is on. The fight is on. James chapter 4, verse number 1, where the Scripture says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members?" You and I will agree that conflicts are a part of life. Conflicts are a part of life. People are in conflict. They're either having a conflict with family, having a conflict with finances. They're either having a conflict with the husband, conflict with the wife. There's different conflicts in life, right? Sometimes church conflicts. There are personal conflicts, and then there are corporate conflicts. But the fight is on. There's battles, and there are wars, and there is this thing of being in the midst of a fight. Even the great apostle Paul admitted to an ongoing warfare. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 5, where Paul says here, now this may not encourage you, but this encourages me. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 5 is an encouragement to me, because if the great apostle Paul was in the midst of some battles and wars, I know that it's not unusual. Sometimes I hear people say, "Well, I never have any problems. I live above sin, and I live, you know, in the victory all the time," and all of that. Well, I don't believe them. I don't believe them. I believe we all have conflicts. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 5, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest." You think about that. You ever been in that place? There have been times I couldn't sleep. Be in the midst of something where I just could not find sleep. Amen? You know it. You could not sleep. Our flesh had no rest. But we were troubled on every side. Now, friends, that's rough when you're troubled on every side. You got the enemy all around. Troubled on every side. Sometimes when I was in Vietnam, the enemy would put sappers all around us. They would put folk all around the base. And they would fire rockets at us from every side, from every side. And then we would call in for Puff the Magic Dragon. Puff was a big plane who would go up with these cannons and machine guns, and he'd find out where they were at, and old Puff would just take care of the situation. We'd go back to sleep. But we were troubled on every side. We had no rest until Puff came along and puffed them out, you know, snuffed them out. And later on, the C-130 took over that job, and they use them now in Iraq, these big gunships, the same thing, and take care of the enemy. But I know what it means to be troubled on every side. Not only militarily, but I know what it's like to be troubled on every side in the realm of the flesh. Amen? Troubled on every side. So Paul said he was troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Now, that's what Paul was up against. There were fightings without, fears within. He said that. He's the great apostle Paul. And like I said, I believe that's an encouragement to me. Not that I want to live there. I believe we can have victory. We're going to talk more about that later on in the week. But friends, you and I are in a battle, and it's good that we realize we're in a fight. Oh, some of these groups, almost said charismatic, but it didn't. But some of these groups, you'd think they never had any problems, never had any trials, and if you're right with God, you'll never be sick. And you'll that's a lie. We do have conflicts. We do have trouble. Look at verse number 1. In verse 1, we find the why of conflict. Why do we have conflict? We're back in James now. James chapter 4 and verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Now, where's it come from? Where's it come from? Well, James says, come they not hence, here's where they come from, even of your lusts that war in your members. So he answers the question concerning the why of conflict. Why do we have conflict? The cause of war is within. That's where the cause is. My problem is me. It's like Pogo said years ago. I don't know if you ever read the comic strip, but I have a lady that brings me clippings out of all the newspapers. On Thursday, we have a service at a nursing facility. It's a, what do they call that? Some kind of care. But anyway, they can have their own kitchen and that and that. And they come down and we preach to them and we have a great time with that. But this lady brings me clippings. Jean Heron, one of the ladies from our church that comes in on Thursday, she brings me all these clippings. I love reading the funnies. And Pogo said, we have found the enemy. And he is us. I mean, you know, here's the problem. The problem's me, amen? So the fight is within. The war is within. Lust are warring within. So we have to make a choice. There's a choice that we must make. Will we follow after the pleasure of the world, gratify the flesh, or will we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit? And dear friends, you and I desire to follow the Spirit, but the flesh is what? Is it weak? Sure it is. So there's that struggle, there's that war, there's that battle. Can I quote Plato? Plato said, the sole cause of wars and revolutions and battles is nothing other than the body and its desires. And really it gets down to that. It comes down to that. Why was Saddam Hussein the way he was? Because, and the way he is, because of the desires of his flesh. The desire of the body. And friends, if we let the lust of the world take over, the lust of the world will choke out the good seed. It will. Now, there are applications and there are interpretations. We've heard about that, and I like that. But here's an application out of Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Talking about that seed, this good seed. Luke 8, verse number 14, we're talking about the seed, talking about the good seed. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they had heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. What happens? The cares of this life and pleasures will choke out the seed, cause it to be unfruitful. Amen? There's no fruit, it says here. No fruit, no fruit brought to perfection or brought to maturity. So James has made it very plain. The source of our problem and the cause of our war is lust. That's what it is. That's the bottom line. And a very interesting Greek word here, and there are several words used for lust, and two of them be used in the passage that we're looking at. But the Greek word for lust here in James 4 and verse 1 is hedonai, from which we get hedonism and hedonistic. We live in a hedonistic society. A lustful society. A society that seeks to gratify oneself. Not so concerned about others, but concerned about me. I don't know if any of y'all ever listened to Patch the Pirate and Patch the Pirate tapes, but I do. And Ron Hamilton and Patch the Pirate. But one of them is about these fish who swim along out in the sea, and they're called not sailfish, but they're sailfish. And these sailfish, all they want to do is have what they want, and they fight and bicker all the time because they're sailfish. Well, we're not to be selfish. Being selfish is part of hedonism. Part of being hedonistic. And that's the word that's used there in James 4 and verse number 1, the word hedonai. And we live in a society that's like that, that seeks to gratify the flesh. And that is a characteristic of the last days, is it not? 2 Timothy talks about it. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 4. Wish we had time to read this whole passage. Don't want to right now, but the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 4, traitors, these are folk in the last day, traitors, and we've had a lot of that. I believe when Spain pulled out of Iraq, they were nothing more than traitors. They should have stayed. They said they would. They didn't do it. That's a traitor. When you don't, I don't care what pressure is put on you within, you do what you say you're going to do. Amen. Heady. High-minded, and then what? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we're to love God more than we love the world. We're not to love the world, not to have the love of the world in us. We're to love the Lord, and we need to love Him with all of our heart. Amen? All of our being, we're to love the Lord. But there are those who are in a struggle all the time because they're letting the flesh control them, letting the desires of the flesh rule their life. And how sad that is. The word heady there in 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 4 means rash, reckless, and to fall headlong into stuff. And there are people that way. They're heady, they're rash, they're reckless, and they fall right into it because they're so reckless. You know that? People like that. So we see where the war is. We see where the battle is. And there's this desire for self-gratification. That's part of that word hedonai, self-gratification. What is self-gratification? Well, we know what it is, but I'll tell you what it is a rejection of. Self-gratification is a rejection of self-control. And friends, we need to learn in our society what self-control is. I mean, we've got a problem with people who cannot control themselves. That's why we have a shooting in a school where 10 people are killed. That's why we have drive-by shootings. That's why we have road rage. People can't control themselves. They're hedonistic. Listen, the highway belongs to me. Well, I don't like that. I really don't. I don't want that. We need to serve the Lord And we don't need to make any provision for the flesh, do we? We don't need to do that. Romans chapter 13, verse number 14. Romans 13, 14. We need to put on the Lord Jesus, the Bible says. Romans 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the what? The lust thereof. Don't make provision for it. I know of a fella. He was from Arkansas. And he told me one time, I was his pastor, and I got this call, and he was in jail in Memphis. And we called him Champ. And I said, Champ, why are you in jail in Memphis? He said, well, he said, I stopped at a ballroom, was going to get a Coke. Now, down where I live, getting a Coke can mean any kind of cold drink. You know, you just get a Coke. It doesn't, you know, I want a Coke. What kind you want? Well, give me a root beer. You know, because that's a Coke. That's a Coke, you know. That's a Coke. And so he said, preacher, he said, I stopped to get a Coke, and fella offered me a beer, and I drank one, I drank three, I drank six, I drank seven. I went into Memphis and ran a stoplight and got stopped. and I'm in jail. And I said, you've given me an illustration, and I've used it all over the country. Number one, you're kind of silly. Number two, don't stop at a beer joint to buy a Coke. Amen? I mean, don't make provision. Don't go where it's at. He had a weakness in that area. He should have stopped at a 7-Eleven or a Jiffy Jack or a Pack-a-Poke. That's one of the ones down where we live, Pack-a-Poke. And then there's y'all's. You got those? But that's where he needed to stop, where the influence, and I know there's beer there, but it's not the influence of people sitting there drinking. So don't go to places where you're going to be tempted. Peter Cartwright, did y'all ever hear him? He was an old-fashioned Methodist preacher back in the circuit riding days. Read about Peter Cartwright. But Peter Cartwright said, a praying knee and a dancing foot don't grow on the same leg. So I learned that from Peter Cartwright, a good Methodist, from back in the days when they preached grace. And but we don't make provision for the flesh. Amen? Don't go to places you shouldn't go. Don't be involved in things you shouldn't be involved in. Stay away from those things. That's what we need to do. Because there is this battle that's going on. Go with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 17. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 17. We're dealing with this subject of lust. The war is on. The battle is on. We're in the midst of it. We're in the conflict. We are. And we need the armor that is spoken of in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're not going to get into that today, but we need the armor that we have. But friends, the Bible tells us here, Galatians 5 and verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. You know what's happening? There's this desire that the flesh has against the Spirit of God, and there is the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You can't do what you want to spiritually sometimes because of this battle that's going on. There's this lusting. And the word lust there means the flesh desires to take you in one direction, and the Spirit desires to take you in another direction, epithumai. And there's that struggle that's going on, and we're in that struggle. I don't care who you are. If the Apostle Paul was in a struggle, and we saw that, we need to realize who the enemy is, realize we're in a struggle, know that we're in the midst of it, realize that the flesh is weak, realize that what Paul said was true. I mean, there is this thing, as he said there in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. And what was happening? Without were fightings, within were fears. We have that. That battle goes on. It does. James chapter 4 and verse number 2. And again, we have the word lust, but it's a different Greek word. It is that word epithumai, it's not hedonai. You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because ye ask not. You know what lust will do? It'll lead men into all kinds of evil. Lead folks into all kinds of bad things. Things that lead to real problems and consequences. You can choose to do wrong. You can choose to do wrong. Now, I'm not a believer in cosmic predestination. And that simply means that I'm standing here because I can't stand over here. Because I'm cosmically predestined to stand here. That every step, everything is ordered. Let me tell you something. There are choices you can make. You can make some choices. One time an old hard shell preacher stood up at a dinner on the grounds and he said, "It's predestined from the foundation of the world that I eat this chicken leg right here today." And he got it about to his mouth and an Armenian grabbed it and stripped it off the bone, chewed it up and said, "Not today, brother." So we can go too far on some of these things. Amen? You can make some choices. You can make bad choices. Choices God didn't want you to have. Things God was not in. Amen? I mean that. God can work it all together for good, and He will. If you love Him, if you know Him, He'll work it together. He will. You can choose to make bad choices. You can choose to do that. But you cannot choose the consequences of those bad choices. You're going to reap what you sow. The consequences are already set. You don't choose that. And friends, we had better keep that in mind as we get out in this world and are daily in the midst of it. We must be responsible people. Folks choose to live a life dominated by sin, but they can't choose the consequences of those actions. The craving for pleasure drives men to shameful deeds. It drives folks to envy. It drives them to enmity and even to murder. But friends, before a man can arrive at a deed, there must be a certain driving emotion in his heart. Premeditated. Okay? Premeditated. I don't believe in a lot of crimes of passion, personally. I believe premeditation is there most of the time. You done thought of it. You know? Really. That's the truth. So, we must guard ourselves. Amen? Don't let it even get a root there. Don't let it even start there. We talked about Proverbs last night. One of my favorite verses in Proverbs is chapter 4, verse 23, where the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Your heart is the hub. And out of that hub come the spokes. So you have to keep your heart with all diligence because out of it comes either love, joy, peace, gentleness. If you don't keep your heart with all diligence, then what comes out of that hub, the spokes will be hatred and bitterness and lust and strife. All of that will come out of it. Out of it are the issues of life. Your heart is going to determine your actions. So we keep our heart with all diligence. If an ungodly desire rules our heart, then we're not safe. Got me? If an ungodly desire rules our heart, then we're not safe. We're in trouble. And again, we are not to make provision for the flesh. And if our thoughts are filled with evil and we think much about sin, then before long we'll find a way to carry out that sin. I have to be in Memphis quite a bit, the hospitals and that. And on Sumner, there are some places that are not good. Sumner Avenue. There's, you know where it's at, Doug. You can see them right on the highway there, right on the road, Sumner. And I've passed those places many times and thought about the number of folks who have said, "Well, I'll just stop. I'll just pull in. I'll just see." And I thought in my mind how many hundreds have been destroyed because of that pull and that desire of the flesh. Friends, we have to just keep on going. Listen, we've got to pass by sin just like a freight train passes by a hobo. We just have to rumble on by. Amen. We got to keep going. Amen. We're not to stop. We're not to make provision. And I knew a young preacher one time. He said, well, I'm reading some magazines to do research. I know they're not good, but I know I need to research this and see these things so I can preach with intelligence on it. Wasn't before long, he was very unintelligent. He showed his stupidity. He was out of the ministry. There's some things you don't have to see, some places you don't have to go. There's some things you don't have to do. I was talking to Paul last night, and we were sharing together about some trips and things, and he talked about how y'all had flown down to Orlando and how much y'all enjoyed that. And I told him, I said, we went down in January and spent the week, and it was in a Bible conference there, and we didn't take a lot in. You get a little older, you don't care about a lot of that stuff. You just want to get into a room somewhere and and rest. You know, we did do a couple of, you know, supper shows, something like that, went to see some things. But I've never been to Disney World, and I'll never go. I am not going. Now, you can go if you want to, and I won't be mad if you do. But any place that has a week set aside for queers, I'm not going. You say, well, you're missing out. No, I'm not missing out. I ain't got to go. And I don't care if you go. There are churches down there that they take groups there. Let them go. I'm not going. Why? Because I've made that decision. And I don't care much for Mickey Mouse anymore anyway. I've gotten older. My pillowcase has Minnie Mouse on it. And you know the reason I like that? Because my little granddaughter, she'll kiss Minnie Mouse on the pillow. She likes that. So anyway. But that's silly, isn't it? That's just a pillowcase I ended up with this go round. But we need not make provision, and we don't need to support that which is evil. And Paul said, I didn't know that when we went. He said, I didn't understand that, didn't know they did that. And y'all just did miss it, didn't you? Just did. I'm glad you missed it. I really am. But there are some stores I don't go in because I don't like what they're doing. I don't have to go in that store. I found out that I'm happier that way. There's some things I don't have to own. I don't have to buy. I don't want to be controlled. And what I found, if there's something that I begin to want all the time, then I deliberately say I'm not going to have that. I'm going to stop that for a while. Because I'll not let anything. Used to Barks root beer. And I still do. I love Barks root beer. And if I eat a po' boy, I'm gonna have a Barks root beer. Angie smile because she knows what a po' boy is. She knows being from Mississippi. And boy, Barks root beer and a po' boy is the best thing in the world. But it got to where I had to have a six pack of them. I had to have my Barks and all that. Yeah, they're root beer. But I've gotten to where I hardly ever have one. Why? Because I saw that was becoming a pattern. For a while I was drinking these diet lemonades. I drug them all over the country with it. I've forgotten that. I just don't want anything that's just going to be controlling. I want the Lord to control my life. I was talking to Mandy about chai latte. I love chai latte. I buy it in the can and I allow myself one cup a day. Because if I didn't, I'd drink it all day long. I would. This week I don't have any. The only place that I got to go right after church. I'm on my way. You know, we have to be careful. And you say, preacher, that's oversimplifying. I think it is simple once we get a handle on it. We just need to make no provision. It's not a big spiritual thing. It is, but it's a decision again. Amen? It's a decision that we have to make. Then you have not because ye ask not. Hey, why don't we have victory? We don't ask for victory. There's a lot more in that. It's deeper than that. But I'm just saying today, you need to ask for victory. Amen. You need to pray that God would give you the victory, that you would have the victory in your life. And we need to pray for spiritual things. I believe the asking here in James 4 and verse 2, the asking here is for that which is spiritual and that which is good, for the desires that will help you. You have not because you ask not. You don't have spiritual things because you're, listen, if you bring it in context, They were not wanting spiritual things. They were in a battle, and the war was being won by the lust of the flesh. They weren't asking for spiritual things. You have not because you ask not. You say you want it, but you don't want it enough to really ask for victory in Jesus. There are times that we pray, and our prayers are not answered because they are selfish prayers. Look at verse 3. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. And ye, why? That ye may consume it upon your own lust. And there are folks that do that. I mean, everything they pray for is something to be consumed on their own lust. Something they want. And it can be anything. My wife, for years, she cooks. I mean, she is a cook. She is an extraordinary cook. She is a good cook. I really love her cooking. She can really cook. But she struggled with an old stove. We bought that stove when we first went to Grenada. And she uses the stove, so it beat up and that. And then we put it out on propane. It didn't work right. We tried to change offices and that. And she really wanted a new stove. She had her heart set upon this stove, this particular stove. 5 eyes on it. One of them, 16,000 BTUs. And the other, a 14, and then a simmer and that. I mean, a nice stone. And I told her, I said, we just need to pray the Lord will provide for that. And I know how bad you want it. But I believe the Lord will take care of it. I believe He'll provide it if He wants you to have it. So she was patient for 2 years. And just about a month and a half ago, I went and got that stove. And it's hooked up. And I like it as much as she does. But the Lord provided where we could do that. Now, we could have done what a lot of folk do, instead of asking the Lord, instead of looking to the Lord. And we do at times ourselves. Just whip out the car. Amen. I'll let my brother get into that. But whip out the card and run that thing up till it's maxed out. We're in trouble in this country because we don't ask God. We consume upon our own lust. Amen? And I believe the Lord wants us to learn how to do without and wait on Him. I do. Trust in the Lord. Look to the Lord. And then James chapter 3. And verses 4 and 5, ye adulterers and adulteresses, that's strong. But you know what I really believe the undercurrent there is? They were committing spiritual adultery. You look at it. Of course, spiritual adultery will lead to unfaithfulness and real adultery. I mean, you know, physical. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? And that's where it keys in there. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Doesn't say will be, but is the enemy of God. And as a church body, and I believe in a local visible church, as a church body, the church has to be careful not to lose its position. What can happen is the church can get away from spiritual things, get away from godly things, become a social organization and commit spiritual adultery. That can happen. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, would to God, he's talking to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. He's talking about a local, visible church. Church at Corinth, you're headed in the wrong direction. I've espoused you to Christ. I believe in a Baptist bride. Not ashamed to say that. I believe in a true church. I believe in an obedient church, a baptized church. And he's saying to that church, you're headed for trouble. So we have to be careful in our church life. But friends, this church is only as strong as the members that make it up. The church where I pastor is only as strong as the members who make it up. So we have to be careful that we do not head into things that would lead us astray. In verse 5, and I'm just make a short comment about it, of James chapter 4. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Simply put, living in the world grieves the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's the bottom line. If you don't do right, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. You don't live right, grieves the Holy Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit yearns for us to fully devote ourselves to God. To devote ourselves to God. We don't have to have and don't need to have divided allegiance. Amen? And then verse 5 says to us there that we need to be very careful about that, and we need to understand that the Holy Spirit does desire for us to live for God. And then verse 6, but He giveth more grace. And I like that. The only reason I have any amount of victory today is because He gives grace. He giveth more grace. And I like that. He giveth more grace. His grace is given more and more and more. He gives greater grace. His grace is sufficient for every need, no matter what that need is. And I'm glad that He gave me grace. I'm glad that He gave me grace unto salvation on that Wednesday night. Pop Stone was there leading the singing, and I was